Welcome back, everybody.
Hey, it's been a while.
We've got some waxing tips for you underway. We've got a pot of wax ready to wax Chloe's armpits.
Yeah, Portia bought I don't even know what it's called.
It's just a
wax thing.
Yeah, it's so for those who don't know, which is probably everybody listening, I am a qualified beauty therapist, but I haven't really done anything with it, so I've decided to go and buy a wax pot just for fun, and so now I think I'm addicted to waxing.
I told my boss that I was like, oh yeah, Portia's gonna get this and she's gonna wax me. She's like, be careful. And I was like, no, she's trained. She's like, oh okay. That's fine then.
What did she think I was gonna do?
I know, just like wing it, like this is
like
fine.
I'm just gonna rip off your skin, it's yeah. all good. No, I mean, I might rip off your skin.
Let's hope not. Well, tune in next week to find out.
Yeah, sign up to listen to our, wait, I don't know what I'm saying right now. I was trying to make a joke saying you should look on Instagram and we'll show the photos of you being waxed, no, but the joke did not work.
That's okay.
I'm terrible.
We'll move on. Yeah. So we should apologize. We've, you know, missed a week of uploading.
Chloe's been fake sick. No, I'm joking.
No, I just keep getting headaches and it was getting worse than it normally is. So I was kind of forced to go to urgent care by Portia and Ellen.
Yeah.
And we were
usually it's Chloe who's like the mum one. She's like the one who pretends to be, well, not pretends to be, but like, it's like the, when you have like mum friends.
Yeah.
And you're like,
I'm the mum friend.
Yeah. But we had to do that for her because she's great at telling other people what to do. Not so great for herself.
I know. So yeah, it just kind of knocked me out a little bit. And also, like, it's kind of taxing, I guess, on, like, our mental health a little bit, doing this podcast. So.
Yeah, it is a little bit. It can... I mean, this isn't our, sole job. We don't get any
job.
Yeah, we don't get any money from this. So it can be a little bit, like...
Trying to juggle it.
Yeah, trying to juggle, like, our mental health and also wanting to do right by this podcast and for people who are listening and trying to do all the work that we can, it can be a little bit taxing on our mental health doing this, but that's not to say that we don't enjoy doing it. I love doing this podcast so much.
Especially when we get messages like the one we got on Instagram after you did a video.
So I did a video update last week of myself just talking about like why we weren't uploading and stuff, and it was actually like really weird because I was like, I wonder if I look how people think I'm going to look.
Yeah.
Because it's like this public, I mean, podcasts aren't a visual medium.
And we actually haven't put up any photos of us. So,
and so
nobody has any idea
what we look like.
Yeah.
It was really funny because there was like someone that replied to that video on our story on Instagram. And she was like, oh my God, you guys look the way that I thought, you look the way that I thought you, that I imagined you to look. And I'm like, really?
I know, it's funny, eh? Like, I'd love to know what people picture when they hear our voices, like people who don't know us.
Yeah.
Be interesting.
Because, I mean, I do that for radio broadcasters.
And podcasts.
All podcasts. You have this idea of what people look like in your head.
Even like a vague picture.
Yeah. And then when you see them, you have to like kind of get used to the fact that
sometimes it's weird if they don't match.
Yeah. You're like, I did not picture.
So I wonder if anybody saw you and was like, oh, that's what she looks like.
Yeah. Like, oh, I'm disappointed.
Yeah. I thought she looked cool.
Yeah. Whatever.
So one update for our 90s kids, I guess, is that the Tony Hawk Pro Skater game came out, the remastered one, and it's so fucking cool.
It's so, I was playing it today, and it's like,
oh, it's
like,
so
it's
amazing.
So much fun. You just get to like, and it's really awesome because you get to like make your own skate parks like you did in the, like you used to in the one from the 90s.
Yeah.
You get to like skate around New York. You get to skate around like schools. Or
it's
there's
so
even
fun.
Like, there's even like a bull run one.
I know, that one's so cool.
Where you have to like, there's like, it's
like we
so
used
cool.
to play it on what, PS1? I think we found the disc, didn't we?
Yeah, we found.
It was like a demo or something.
We found the demo disc, and so we would just make our own
swimming pool skate park.
Yes, just put
so
pools
fun.
Everywhere when we're making our own skate park. It's
it was
so,
so good.
Yeah, it's honestly so good.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's a lot of that like going around of like 90s
nostalgia
that are being remastered. Like there's a new Crash Bandicoot coming out.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm just.
I want them to redo Croc. Croc is my favorite.
Yeah, I loved Croc. Hopefully you guys know.
They're like, okay, what the hell are you talking about?
It's like the what was he like, a little crocodile? He's a little
crocodile,
and it was like
Legend of the Gobbos or something.
Gobbos,
yeah, it was so fun though.
Do you know that Gobbos is actually a term for something sexual?
Oh my god, are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. In England, you give a guy a gobbo.
Oh my god, oh that's gross. Oh sorry.
Wow,
I'm just so shocked at that joke that I knocked my drink bottle over. Yeah, so today's episode is a little bit different. We don't really have any notes or anything. We kind of just wanted to have like a conversation.
And off sort of, the cuff.
Yeah, and just like talk to you guys. And we've got an email that we thought was really cool that we wanted to read out.
Yeah, we kind of just, I mean, after last week, we were going to do an episode like this last week, but obviously with Chloe being sick, we couldn't. But it's also like, I'm kind of glad that we're doing it this way because like it's a little bit like...
Like low-key sort of?
Yeah, and less... like I just honestly, like the past couple of weeks, like I just haven't been bothered to write.
Because it's a lot of researching. And
just like the emotional energy that gets put into this can be a bit much sometimes.
And I guess it's kind of taxing in that every time we do an episode, whatever the topic is, we have to like dredge up memories
to
put it into context and like give examples for people, but at the same time we're dredging up memories that we maybe didn't want to remember or had forgotten about completely.
Yeah, exactly. But also like in saying that, I think it's kind of a good thing as well for us because it's almost like we're working through stuff through this podcast in a way. Like I don't know about you, but it's kind of like this feeling of it's hard, but it's
worth it.
Like, Yeah.
We can do hard things.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I wanted to start with the email that we got. We were so, so happy. Like, we love getting emails from anybody, but this one really made us happy because at the end she signed off Stay Classy, which is like, you know, our little slogan. So I'm not going to say her name because she didn't say explicitly that I could say it, but she did give us permission to share the email. So this is just a small quote. So it says, I started going to therapy since then, and I could not agree with you more about how important and healing it is. I began searching for more information and found this podcast. I listen to it when I go for a walk, and it feels like a safe space. It feels like if you were my sisters, I need so much right now. Even though our mothers are very different superficially, the underlying mechanisms and toxic behaviors are the same. All the things you talk about just remind me that it is real and that the way she treats me is not healthy. I told my therapist about you and she told me to keep listening to your story because she could see how much it was helping me. And then she signed it, Stay Classy. Like, both Portia and I were like, oh my God, did you just read that email? We were so happy.
Yeah,
like, it's such a nice thing to read. Like, every time someone emails, we're just like, get this little like happy feeling.
Yeah, because it's almost like, I don't know how to put it into words, but it just makes me feel so like we're doing something good for people.
And especially that she signed off Stay Classy, like it just was so nice.
It's honestly like
we just had like big smiles on our faces
because really nice. I mean when we were starting up the when we were thinking of starting up the podcast, we were like, what name can we give it? Like,
we had a couple.
So way back in the day when, like, none of us had gone no contact with our mum.
Is this what I think it is?
Yeah, I think so. Way back in the day when none of us had gone no contact with our mum, but it was like, really difficult times. Like, I was having so many arguments with her. Like, it was really, really bad. I would go from like living with mum and having an argument with her and then go and hang out with Chloe and Alan and like talk about how frustrated I was. And we started up this
because we were talking and we were just sort of talking about stories and stuff. And then we came up with a chant.
Yeah, with a chant that goes, our mums are bitches. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so we were like, let's do a podcast.
That's our title.
Slogan, like we could have a theme song and everything. Obviously it's not called that, but
I can't believe we just shit.
I know. People would be like, what the hell?
Yeah, but when we were figuring out like what we wanted to call the podcast, we were also like, you know, what can we sign off?
And the inspiration, or I guess for like a sign off, was My Favorite Murder, which is a true crime podcast that we both listen to, and there's a Stay Sexy and Don't Get Murdered.
Yeah.
So we were like, okay, well, we want something
like that similar. Is punchy, and that also is
hopefully empowering.
Yeah, because I mean, when we first were looking, we were like looking at options that were like like just stupid ones like what are we what. Okay. I can't even...
Like, see you later, alligator? No, yeah. I'm joking.
No, but we were just making jokes, like, what should we do? Like, see you later, alligator. Like,
yeah, then I'd be like, in a while, crocodile. And then we were like, finger that's guns. Dumb. Yeah.
But so we were trying to figure something out. And so we came up with, like, Stay Classy.
Yeah.
And it kind of... Well, for me, I don't know about you, it might have. But for me, it kind of turned into something else where I would... you know, hear about something that's happened with my family, or get frustrated with someone that I know, yeah. or, you know, because I'm quite like a, I don't know, I have a little bit of a temper, but not so much anymore, but I used to have quite a bit of a temper, and it's really hard for me to hold my tongue, I guess, with certain things. And so Stay Classy has turned into this, like, almost like,
mantra
for me, where it's like, if I want to be petty and inside me I'm like, I want to like clap back or whatever at this person or anything like that, literally in my head I'm like, no, stay classy.
Yeah, like just kind of like rising above, like,
yeah. And that's kind of like how I view it, where I'm like, we choose the path of staying classy,
yeah,
and choosing our battles.
Yeah, and like moving forward with I guess like grace, and like,
yeah,
just kind of, you know, drawing that line in the sand, like, okay, maybe I would have reacted differently before, but now I'm choosing to step forward with like the intention of doing better and being better
and doing something that serves me,
yeah,
rather than serves them,
yeah, and not giving into that drama.
Yeah, because I mean, we've talked about it so often, it's like when narcissists want that supply, they're gonna get it, but it's like, now, yeah, we're choosing the path of like staying classy, we're, yeah, choosing the path of doing something that serves us, yeah, in a positive way, yeah. I guess, you know, it can be really difficult, especially for me, I think, like
well, I think anyone, like, it's really easy to hear something that someone said, and this kind of transitions into what,
yeah,
I want to talk about anyway, but it kind of, it's hard to hear someone either talk shit about you or
know that they're even talking shit, yeah, about you,
and to not defend yourself, like, that takes
like practice,
yeah, yeah, not, it's not easy to send an email or send a text and be like, hey, I heard you said this isn't true, XYZ is the reason why, and you know, that kind of thing.
It's, yeah,
it's kind of this idea of like not being able to control the narrative and how it's told to other people. So, you know, we can't control what other people are going to say, but we can control, like, our truth and what we know is the truth, and, like, choosing that option of staying classy and not giving into that, like, drama, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's almost like you know that other people are going to be... I mean, you can't control what people are going to be doing. You can only control what you do.
Exactly. You can't control how they might twist the story or how they tell it. You
and know? That's fucking frustrating. Like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, you think about, like, in school when there's rumors and stuff, and, yeah, and people get into arguments so easily in school, but obviously,
yeah,
in school, that's kind of the age that you're at, where you're learning how to control your emotions and stuff. But, yeah, as adults now, it's like we have to just sit back and go, just accept that that's where it's at, and just, yeah, go, okay.
And sometimes you can't change someone's mind. And, you know, it's not your job to either.
Yeah, like, exactly.
If you know your truth and you know your reality and you know what's real and what's false, then that's all that matters. And you just have to keep
And realistically, trying. Like, the people that we're talking about who may or may not be talking about us or you know, spreading things like your siblings or whatever, it's kind of that thing of, like, it sucks. Like, it really does suck. But also, if they're spreading this malicious stuff about you, does it really mean that they care about you? Like, do you really need that kind of influence in your life?
Exactly.
Like, the way that I think about it is, like, imagine, okay, so I don't know if I'm going to find a way to relate this back, but I can but I can imagine it as, like, okay, so you think about the Black Lives Matter movement, right?
Yep.
And how people are always trying to, you know, poke back at it, being like, but what about this? But what about this? What about this? It's not up to Black people to then explain to us and try and make us understand how things are racist. It's up to us to go out and look at how things are racist. And I feel like it's a similar thing with like, narcissistic parents or people who have been through abuse and stuff. It's not up to us to then try and convince people that that's what's happened. It's up to them to just go, okay, I believe you, and I'm going to go forward with and the intent work to on understand my own
stuff.
More.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't know if that made sense.
No, it did, because, like, in an ideal world, we wouldn't be in this situation and we would have a mother who didn't act like that. And, you know, in a slightly more perfect world than now, maybe our siblings or other family members would be on our side, air quotes.
Not that there's any sides, but...
You know, but it just means coming to terms with the fact that this is the position you're in and this is where the line is in the sand and you're on this side and maybe someone else or a bunch of other people on the other side, and all you can do is walk your path. This sounds so, like, preachy, but I just mean, like, all you can do is, like, you know, everyone's on their own journey.
It sounds so, like, essential oils.
Like
you can choose your path and and then inject like essential
straight lavender oil into your veins.
Into your veins so you can calm down a little bit.
But yeah, it's like, you know, people are always gonna accuse you of lying or gaslight you or, you know, tell you it wasn't that bad, but just stick to what you know and what your truth is and just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And
there was actually forward. So this is kind of a random thing, but so my therapist always mentions to me that I live my life with a lot of paranoia. And I was like, I don't think so. Like, how do I live my life with paranoia? Like, blah blah blah. But because in my head, paranoia was that classic kind of viewpoint of, like, the government's conspiring against me and I fully believe this thing, but
and who's watching me and
but then I started to understand further that it's not paranoia as such, it's more paranoid ideation, which is more in regards to, for example, we can talk about, like, say you're walking down a hallway and you see two girls laughing and you think in your head, oh my god, they're laughing about me, or you think that, I don't know, someone's talking shit about you, or you think that someone pulled a face and it means this and that means that they're upset with you, kind of thing. And I think this, when people are more likely to have this paranoid ideation, it's easy to sort of go into this space where you are convinced that everybody's talking about you, and this frustration of not being able to control what other people are saying. So it's like, it can be really fucking hard, but it's like, I think it's just, I always talk about, like, with anxiety and stuff, like, have conversations with yourself where you acknowledge that it might be not logical to think that way, I guess.
My therapist always says you should frame it as, the story I'm telling myself is these two people are talking about me and laughing about me. But in actuality, they're probably not. They're just living their life the same way I am, you know? Yeah. So it becomes this, like, narrative or this, like, story, like, fantasy story that you're telling yourself, and you know that deep down it's not true.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It and I think that's kind of ties in with what we're talking about with, you know, not being able to control what other people think or say about you outside of your kind of nuclear family, friend group.
Yeah.
And I just think that it's a really difficult thing to kind of get a hold on, and especially if you are prone to that paranoid ideation where you automatically in your head you're like, they're talking about me, when they may not be. It's like, it's this, and how do you balance the two, you know?
Yeah, and another thing my therapist always says is, even if they are talking about you, like, what does it matter? Like, that's their shit, and whatever is going on with them that they feel the need to do that, like,
yeah,
again, you know your truth, you know who you are, hopefully. Mm. You know, you just got to keep moving forward, I guess.
It's funny that you talk about, like, you know who you are and stuff, and I there was like a line that my therapist said to me ages ago where he went, you're the expert on your life. And I kind of went away from that thinking, like, but for people who have grown up with gaslighting and, you know, manipulation and lies and everything, which I'm guessing the majority of people who are listening to this podcast have gone through that, it can be so hard to then be like, but how can I be an expert on my life when I didn't know that my dad wasn't a bad person? I didn't know that my... I mean, we had someone email us saying that they found out that
who they thought was their biological father wasn't.
Yeah, and it's like, how can you move forward from that without this paranoia and without this feeling of not knowing who you are and not being sure what you want from life and everything? Go to therapy.
Yeah, please go to therapy.
Yeah.
It's really, really good.
Yeah, it'll... I think it's just...
It takes, like... I think it's... I don't want to give off the impression that going no contact is, like, the solution to all your problems. Like, I know we talk about it in a positive light, and it has been positive for us and for Bridie as well. But at the same time, like, depending on your age, there's, like, decades, you know, years of baggage that you have to undo.
There are people that message us who are, like, 40, 50 plus.
Yes, and it's so sad. Like,
and to know that that you can spend your entire life thinking one thing and then suddenly your eyes are opened in your late 50s. It's flipped
upside down.
And it's flipped upside down to think, okay, this wasn't how I thought it was. And now I'm starting to understand that it's something different. And
it takes, like, so long to work through. Like, I mean, you've been 2 years no contact. I'm coming up on 2 years.
Yeah.
At the end of the year.
Yeah.
Far out. but, like, it takes a long time. I mean, that's where we should get your friend Katie on, because she's been no contact for a lot longer than us.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's not the solution to all your problems, and it's not
a quick linear fix. Yeah. It's not linear. It's not this thing where you go, okay, I'm no contact, and now my mental health is only going to go upwards, because it can
it goes all over the show.
It literally is like a freaking roller coaster. Like, you're just, because you've gone no contact doesn't mean all your problems are solved, because, like, and I think that's what we've spoken about previously, where it's like,
you have to
go forward with this intention of healing and I guess healing is the right word, because we've talked about previously how, you know, especially if you have a narcissistic parent, they've crafted this version of you that has these gaps where malicious people or you know, narcissistic people will prey on those gaps. And it's up to us when we decide to step away from that to go, okay, I have to move forward with the intention of healing this, because otherwise I'm gonna be more susceptible to falling for someone's tricks again.
Yeah, or, you know, impart that on somebody else, like, without, you know, unintentionally.
Yeah, and that's where I think generational trauma comes into it, where it's like, okay, so you think about grandparents who have gone to war and they have PTSD, and you think about the fact that they have kids, and then those parents have a rough upbringing because of their grandparents, and they end up, you know, relying on alcoholism and all this stuff, and then they have kids, and then they have kids, and it just
keeps going.
It's just like generational trauma that is passed down.
That's my most favorite thing, though, is the idea that it stops.
Yeah.
Like that it's stopping with us. So neither of us have kids or are really planning to have kids.
Yeah.
But if we did, it would stop with us. Like, we know.
Or at least I hope it would.
Yeah. Like, we know right now that if tomorrow I decide to have a baby, I know that I'm going to treat that baby better than I was treated, you know, and it wouldn't keep going. Whereas if I didn't go no contact, or I didn't sort my shit, it would be a different story.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's like this idea that we it's almost like quite a powerful thing to think
it
about.
Is.
Where you're
it
like,
really
actually,
is.
I'm stopping this with me. Like, I'm yeah. it stops here.
Exactly.
The fuckery.
Yeah, and
is
like,
finished.
Who knows how long it's been going on? You
yeah.
know, who knows how many generations? But
yeah.
I think we want to talk about generational trauma in an episode
yeah,
A and like
definitely.
Trauma bonding
definitely.
And stuff. So.
And I mean, in regards to like having kids and not passing that trauma onto them, I also want to, it's almost a reminder for myself and for other people as well. If you've gone no contact, the work isn't done there. You have to do the work to heal yourself, because even if you don't realize that you're doing it, you can be passing
still,
that trauma down onto your kids, and you can be, you know, using those unhealthy coping mechanisms that you've used throughout your life.
Yeah.
And
putting them onto other people and putting them onto
your partner, or putting them onto your kids and stuff. And so that's why
nieces and nephews.
Yeah. That's why it's so important to look inward at yourself and go, okay, I'm self-aware enough to know that this is toxic behavior. I'm self-aware enough to know that this is damaging behavior, and I'm going to choose to seek out why I'm
and
doing it.
I think an important thing to note as well is so many people who have been through similar things with a narcissistic parent don't even realize how fucked up their thinking or mentality is. Like, I would, for the longest time, was like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And yet I would kind of ignore the fact that I got really anxious and panicky around alcohol.
Yeah.
Or like when mum drunk, that I would get like really angry at her.
Yeah.
Or when Ellen sometimes drunk, I would get weird around it. And I'm like, no, it's fine. I'm fine.
Yeah.
And then now it's like, oh no, I'm fucked up. Like,
like it's this feeling of having enough self-awareness, I think, to realize that, you do have some shitty behavior sometimes, or you've got some issues sometimes.
Yeah.
Because if you can't shed a light on it, then you're not going to be able to see it.
No,
like you
can't heal it if you can't see it.
Yeah. And so,
yeah.
Go to therapy.
I mean, again, like, we're not experts, and we're not trying to claim that we
are.
Have the cure, or that we are.
Because there is no real cure. But that's why I love doing this podcast, because it's like, it's like we don't have the cure, but...
We're just kind of talking it out. It's kind of like a therapy session.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why people like listening.
Because they can see themselves in
and sort of
our stories.
Have the conversation along with us, like in their head almost, you know?
Yeah.
I love the idea, just going back to that email, I love the idea of her saying, like, she felt like we were her sisters. Like, that makes me so happy. Like, I wish that I could, like, hug everybody who's listening and just
that's
be like,
so,
I think of
so
you
lame.
As my sister. It is lame, but I don't care. Like, I'm real mushy, so it's fine.
I'm, like, anti-hugs.
Yeah. Well, you can,
but
like,
I would
shake their hand.
I would, like, hug from a distance.
Yeah.
We can bump elbows during COVID times.
But, I mean, that's why we called it the No Contact Club. Like, we wanted it to be this thing where we can all come together in a club and be like, hey, we are all linked by this shitty thing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And we're all messed up in our own little ways.
But we're going to be okay.
Yeah. And also, I just wanted to touch on this quickly before we wrap up. There's also this feeling, and I know that you sometimes get this, where you'll get emails and stuff and you'll think, oh my God, this person's had it so much worse than me. Like, they've got this so bad. How can I be upset about what I've been through when this person was raped, or this person
sexually assaulted, abused, and or
this
physically
person's
abused.
Brother has been killed or something.
Mm.
And I just wanted to just kind of talk about that and flesh it out, really. I go through that as well.
Same.
Where I'm like, I can't be upset for what I've been through because this person's been through worse. But I just want to remind everyone that it's all relative to your situation.
Mm.
And what was that line that you've said before? Like, you can drown.
Oh, you can. It's a quote, and I wish I knew who said it, but it's like, you can drown in a
puddle,
and you can drown in a pool. Like, you're
like,
still drowning. Like, you know, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that somebody else had it worse. Like,
because it's still.
Yeah. There's always going to be someone who has had it worse.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it's like,
that's life. Like, there are people suffering all over the world. Like,
yeah. You think about, like, if someone stubs their toe, but then the person next to them has got a gunshot wound.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You're not going to then go, you can't be hurt by your stubbed toe.
Exactly.
Because this person's got a bullet wound. No, they're both relative to the
exactly.
situation, and they both hurt.
Or
maybe not as yeah, maybe yeah. not equally as bad, but it still
exactly hurts. And at the end of the day, if you're hurt by someone's actions and you're hurt by maybe your parents or your mother's actions, like, that's valid and that's your experience and nobody can
one can take that away from you at all. Yeah. But I think we've rambled for long enough.
Yeah, it's long enough.
And next week we will be back with a proper episode. I think we're going to be talking about trauma bonding.
Yeah.
Because we've mentioned that a couple of times in previous episodes and I think it'll be great for us to kind of break that down a little bit. But if you want to get in touch with us, that's absolutely okay by all means.
Please, please get in touch.
Our email is thenocontactclub@gmail.com, or you can reach out to us on Instagram, which is the same, our handle is thenocontactclub, or even Facebook. You can DM us. We love hearing from you guys.
We do. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
Stay classy.
Bye.